Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us is Gedalia Bloom. He's a partner, co-founder at the Heartland Institute Initiative. Gedalia Bokertov, good morning. Hope you're well.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I mean, for those of, like, the joke of it is none of us actually take Eurovision seriously. I don't think anybody in the world takes it seriously. It's only about this issue that it's suddenly become something that we all care about. It's good marketing.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Because, for decades, I've been watching it religiously, and the talent that comes out of these competitions are amazing. I mean, every year we look forward to it. My whole family, we
I don't know if he's being sarcastic or not. I can't tell. You carry on.
It's I don't know where they find these people, unfortunately, I believe watching Eurovision is like rubbernecking, as we say,
in
America. When there's a car crash, you're kind of like looking over and seeing what bizarre costume and some demonic song the Irish are singing. Meanwhile, like, there's like real talent in this world, and for some reason, it just doesn't fit the category for Eurovision. So I think when it comes to Israel as well, I mean, we try to put up some real talent, and I know, I forget her name, but the one who sung the song, Hurricane?
Mukundi, what's her name?
Eden Golan.
Eden Golan, thank you, Mukundi. Right, Mukundi knows.
I mean, Mukundi
knows Hebrew music better than most of us, Israeli music.
Yeah, so her performance actually at the Eurovision after October 7th was a legitimate talent, but
absolutely,
more than that, it was planting our feet strong on the ground, our flag in the ground, and putting our chins up in pride that we are resilient. It became like almost like a political movement. It became a platform where Israel could be like, you know, this is who we are, and if you don't like it, you know what to do. And I think that's what brought a lot of attention to Eurovision in the recent years, at least. And I think because we used it as a platform to show Jewish pride and resilience, I think that's exactly why the other countries don't want us to be there, because they don't want to give Israel the stage to be able to express themselves. And, you know, the greatest way to shut down opposition is to censor them. And I think that's the root of it. I don't think it has to do with, you know, we don't like Israeli policies, we don't like that. No, we don't want the Jews to have the stage. We don't want them to be able to express themselves and oppose this kind of like mind virus that is taking over Europe.
There was little surprise that, given their behavior over the last couple of years, more than the last couple of years, many, many years, Ireland and Spain have now pulled out of Eurovision. That shouldn't be a surprise. I think everybody, the truth is, I am a bit disappointed that Ireland's not there, because, as you said, it was always quite a spectacle, but it did surprise me that the Netherlands have pulled out as well. Did any of these? So it's Ireland, Spain, Netherlands, and Slovenia. Did any of these surprise you?
I mean, for sure, Netherlands and Slovenia. I mean, we know the way that Spain has been going. Ireland is pretty much the spearhead of Jew hatred in Europe, Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, any Eastern European country, we always feel in Israel kind of has our backs, because they're the ones that are also very open, you know, eyes wide open of the danger of Islamic Jihad. So, you know, if they're blocking the mass immigration into their own countries and trying to protect their own culture, a lot of them, I mean, we see with Hungary, the Czech Republic, they absolutely adore Israel. They respect us. They love us. We have, generally the same values. And so, The European countries, yes. I mean, Slovenia, it's definitely like a surprise for me. But besides that, the Netherlands, of course. We have a very strong backing when it comes to the Christian
Evangelical.
evangelists from, from Netherlands. But then again, I mean, Netherlands is now no longer a European country anymore. I mean, there's neighborhoods and cities that are now, majority immigrants. And there's been studies out that say that, they're always worried about the mass immigration and terrorism and the change of culture. And the studies found that the first generation is actually not as dangerous or a threat than the second generation. So the second and third generation migrants that come into Europe, they're saying, become much more radicalized. And so, that's what we're seeing in
That is
Europe.
so
And I think
interesting.
that,
That's such a
yeah.
fascinating study and observation. I guess because the first generation actually appreciate or can see what they've left behind and have sought out a new life under a different system.
That's a very optimistic viewpoint. I think that
Thank you.
overall, if you hear what a lot of the migrants say, they say we didn't run away from our countries. We're importing our culture throughout Europe. This is part of their manifest destiny, if you could say. And I'll say this is that when it comes to first generation, I think it's just maybe it has more to do with more practical considerations, like I have to
Yes.
get a job. I have to get a job. I have to figure out how I'm going to eat. And so they're distracted by these things. Meanwhile, they're still going to mosque. They're bringing their kids into these enclaves that are like no-go zones within Europe, that the police don't go into. They become radicalized, and they don't have to worry about where they're eating because they have, welfare. Their parents now have maybe steady jobs, and maybe that's the reason why they become more radicalized. I think maybe on the outside, how it manifests itself. And I think, Europe overall is extremely threatened by this. And you see a lot of pushback. Let's say, like in Ireland, there was a tent that was erected in, I forget which town in Ireland, but it was a Muslim, and he's preaching Islam, and he has the Qurans. And all of a sudden, you see a video of like 30 Irishmen masked, with their faces covered, going through and just destroying and kicking the Qurans all over, and like, calling for, Ireland to take back their country. And so there's a threat. There's a threat there that people feel like they have to go to those extremes because there's so much pushback and allowing these people to have a platform. And I think that the Western governments are afraid. And I think the Eurovision could actually be also a product of that.
Very, very interesting, because so the idea that Gedalia is really sharing is that Eurovision is almost a microcosm of what is happening on the broad cultural and political level in Europe, and in some way has become a bit of a battleground for this fight between Western values and the alternative. Gedalia Bloom, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for bringing us that perspective.